Would you please pray with me? Oh Lord, we give you praise and thanks for this time in which you are reigning over us, in which you and your love are ministering to us. As we come to worship you in spirit and in truth, you are working in us and among us that your kingdom might come more fully, that your will might be done more completely here on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray now, Lord, that as we come to your word, that you would speak to us of your truth, of your heart for us, and that your word would minister to each of us the ways in which you know we need to be loved. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, happy Pentecost. We don't really have a good greeting for Pentecost, do we? It's always like, should I have responded to that? Happy Pentecost? You know, if I said Merry Christmas, you all would say Merry Christmas or Happy Easter. We don't have a natural flowing Pentecost congregational greeting, do we? I want to propose one for us, though, and I'm stealing this shamelessly from the Reverend Canon David Roseberry, who wrote this week. Our greeting for Pentecost should simply be this: the Lord be with you. There you go. There's a good response. The Lord be with you. Amen. Pentecost is the promise that the Lord is truly with us. So when we say the Lord be with you, what we're meaning is may the fullness of the Spirit of God be upon you. May everything that God desires for you by indwelling in your hearts be with you and in you. This is the promise of Pentecost. It's the fulfillment of the promise of Emmanuel, that God is with us. It's the fulfillment of Jesus' promise that he will be with us always to the end of the age. The Lord is with us by his Spirit. So now, as there's a lot of different ways we could talk about Pentecost, a lot of different things to teach, to meditate on, to angles to approach it from, we could talk about this is the birth of the church, how the Holy Spirit came as a wind of fire upon those disciples. There was the miraculous speaking in tongues that drew a big crowd, and Peter then took the opportunity to preach the good news. And 3,000 came to faith in Christ in one day. It launched the church into existence. We call this sometimes the birthday of the church. Or we could talk about Pentecost as the undoing of Babel, our Old Testament reading in Genesis 11, how the nations came together in their pride and their hubris to build a tower to heaven, and God scrambled their words and scattered them across the earth. The curse of Babel is then undone at Pentecost, where Pentecost is the celebration of unity that transcends language barriers and cultures and races. That the Holy Spirit now unites us in the Word, where our words were scrambled and divisive. Now we are one in the Word, Jesus Christ. And language is no longer a barrier in the Holy Spirit. We could talk about the gifts of the Spirit poured out. We saw these miraculous gift of tongues. We could talk about prophecy. We could talk about healing, miracles of power that come through the Holy Spirit. Lots of different angles we can come at Pentecost from. Lots of different truth we can proclaim and meditate on for our lives and growth in godliness. And here's what I want to focus on today. This core truth that what Pentecost means is that God is with us. That the Holy Spirit is in us and the indwelling of God in the heart of every believer. That God gives many gifts, many blessings, many benefits through his Spirit. But the greatest gift of God is himself. St. Augustine had this beautiful line where he said, God does not give a gift inferior to himself. God gives us nothing less than himself, his very presence, all that he is. So I want to declare to us this morning what I hope that most of us know, but still we have this niggling in the back of our mind, this kind of cultural impression upon us that the Holy Spirit is some kind of power or force or just special ability that we might possess. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person who is the third member of the Trinity, God himself, who comes to live in you, to fill your heart, to empower you, and change your life. So just as the disciples on the first Pentecost were filled with the Holy Spirit, that's the word that's used, they were filled. So we are called throughout the New Testament to be filled in the same way. So how is it that we're filled by the person of the Holy Spirit? And we'll get more into this, but I'll say it right off the bat. To be filled with the person of the Holy Spirit is to have him dwelling in our hearts and to live a life that is yielded to him and his lordship. So before we get into more of how we are filled, I want to look at Jesus' words on who the Holy Spirit is, so that we can meditate on how we might know him more and then how we might be filled with him more. Jesus said in our gospel reading a lot to us about who this Spirit is. He said in John chapter 14, I'm just going to focus on verses 16 and 17. He said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. He goes on, who he's talking about is the Spirit of truth. His own Spirit. He says, I will give you another helper. Another is that term that's implying that this is someone of the same kind as Jesus. He's a helper in the same way as Jesus. He's the same kind. He's the same quality of help and care and leadership in our lives. What I am to you now, Jesus is saying, I will send another helper to be just like me. So the Holy Spirit, as the presence of Jesus himself, will be with us in the same character as Jesus, for the same purpose as Jesus had when he was with his disciples in the flesh. This will be another, just like Jesus. The Greek word for helper is paraclete. There is not an English translation that does this word full justice. It's translated in various translations as helper or comforter or advocate or encourager or strengthener. The paraclete, the Spirit of God, is someone who comes alongside us as a source of help and strength and comfort and encouragement. The Latin form of the word paraclete is where we get the word advocate. It's a legal term. In a legal context, an advocate is a representative of the law speaking on behalf of someone else. So here we have God himself, a member of the Trinity, coming to speak to us and speak on our behalf to God, to intercede for us, just as Christ does. Another helper, another intercessor. A helper is someone who comes alongside to bless others. A comforter is someone who ministers comfort in grief and distress and anxiety. So, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the paraclete, the Spirit of God is an ever-present encourager, strengthener, supporter, someone who comes alongside us, shoulders our burdens, strengthens us to carry on in the journey of life, in Jesus' name. Where Jesus is trying to give us this rounded picture of who the Holy Spirit is as a person. He says, this Spirit will be given to be with us forever, he says at the end of verse 16. He's with us forever. The indwelling presence of God, Christ himself, will be with us always. Jesus said, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is what he was talking about. And meditating on that word forever means for us that when you have the Spirit of God, that Spirit will never leave you, will never walk away from you or abandon you. You might leave Him, and that's another story, but He will never leave you. The Spirit is with you forever, Jesus says. He will never fail you. He will never abandon you. He will never be ashamed of you or say, I'm done with this fool. The Spirit of truth has come to be with you forever. And as long as you remain in Him, He will be your comforter. He will be your advocate, your helper, always. He is the Spirit of truth, Jesus says. The Spirit of truth means that He will never lie to you. He will never deceive you or pull the wool over your eyes. He will never manipulate you or act upon you without your consent. He's the Spirit of truth, and so it's not in His nature to deceive or manipulate. He can't do it. He won't deceive you. He's fully good, fully truthful, fully faithful and honest and true. And always will be that for you. This, in part, is why Jesus says the world cannot receive Him. The world cannot receive Him because they don't know Him. They don't see Him. The world doesn't know Jesus, and so the world can't know His Spirit. And even if they did, the world tends to not be interested in truth. The world tends to not be interested in anyone who would say to them, you're off course here. The truth is shining a light upon what you're doing, and it's judging you. It's the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings as the Spirit of truth, to hold up our lives next to the truth and show where we are off. He's called the Spirit of truth because He's always pointing us to the one who is the truth. Jesus said earlier in this chapter, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the Holy Spirit lives to always lead us to Jesus, to glorify Jesus, to bear witness to Jesus and His words in our hearts, in our minds, leading us into His truth in such a way that always glorifies Jesus. These are all things that Jesus says about the Spirit throughout this Upper Room Discourse in John 14 through 17. The Spirit lives to glorify Jesus and to empower us to bear witness to Jesus, who is the truth. We know this from Acts chapter 1, where Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Through this empowerment, through this Spirit who comes upon us, you will be witnesses to Jesus. The Spirit gives gifts to bless the church, to build us up so that we are effective as the body of Christ in this world. And the spiritual gifts are given as a manifestation of the Spirit's power working in us and through us. So in all these things, we're getting this picture of who this person is. This helper, this comforter, our advocate, our encourager, the power and love of God who is ever pointing us toward Jesus and making us more like Him so that we might be more effective witnesses in the world. Jesus said, I have asked the Father, and together they have given us the Holy Spirit in order to be present and active in and through us. God gives no gift inferior to Himself. Jesus is giving Himself. So all this is to say again, the Spirit is not a force, not a power, but He is a person. So as we think and meditate on what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit, what does it mean to be filled with this person? We've got to impress upon our hearts that to be filled with the Holy Spirit is not about harnessing a power, but about knowing a person. About knowing this person, the third member of the Trinity, who can transform you, who dwells in you, and who draws you up to God, and who empowers you to live faithfully in this world. We're talking about a relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit. Because the Lord doesn't want to just give you a force or a power or an ability to do cool things that's separate from Himself. The Lord wants to give you Himself. And this is the gift of the Spirit for us on Pentecost. So, as we reflect on the person of the Spirit, and as we reflect on this Pentecost, the indwelling of the Spirit that we witnessed in, with tongues of fire and different languages and miraculous empowering, knowing that the Holy Spirit is a person, and knowing that we are called to be filled with this person, the question becomes not how much we have of the Holy Spirit, but how much the Holy Spirit has of us. Right? It's not how much we have of the Holy Spirit as if the Holy Spirit can be divided into parts, or we can just claim a piece of Him. It's about how much this person has of our hearts and our lives. How much does the Holy Spirit have of you? How much claim does He have on your heart, on the patterns of your life, on the patterns of your thinking and your habits? How much does the Holy Spirit have of you? So this is where I'd like to lead us in reflection today upon these things. How can we grow in being filled with the Holy Spirit? It's the language of the New Testament. Be filled with the Spirit. How can we grow in letting this Spirit of truth have more and more of us? And I'm just going to put forward to us three things that I think are from Scripture of how we are filled with the Spirit more and more. It starts, this is basic but needs to be said, it starts with believing in Jesus. Knowing the Holy Spirit more and more, being filled with the Spirit more and more, letting the Spirit have more of your heart, starts with believing in Jesus Christ. More than just believing that He exists, more than just believing that He is a good guy, but believing in Jesus unto salvation. And trusting our whole lives unto Him. And receiving humbly His saving grace for the forgiveness of our sins through His cross. And confessing Him as Lord of our lives. Believing in Jesus is the core part of knowing the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is always pointing us toward Jesus. Jesus said in John 7, He said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Spirit has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now He said this about the Spirit, John says. So whoever believes in Jesus, who trusts in Jesus, who entrusts their lives to Jesus, the Spirit will flow in your hearts, like living water. The Spirit is here to point us toward Jesus. So if you are putting your faith in Jesus, you are putting yourself in the exact position where the Spirit can fill you and supercharge you. Believe and ask the Father in prayer to fill you more and more. The Spirit is always pointing you toward Jesus, so the core basic element of being filled with the Spirit is believing in Jesus ourselves. Secondly is prayer. We can ask the Lord to be filled more and more with the Spirit. Ask the Lord that we might be yielded more and more to the Spirit. When we trust in Jesus, we ask in His name for the Holy Spirit to fill us more and more. We ask the Father who gives good gifts. Jesus taught in Luke 11, saying that you know how to give good gifts. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who what? Ask. Just ask Him. The Father delights to give us good gifts, the best gifts, the gift of Himself. So we are encouraged always to ask. Prayer is all about our communion with God. So not is it just our supplications, our asking, it's our worship. It's our entering into the presence of the Lord, where Psalm 22:3 says that God is enthroned upon the praises of His people. When we come together in corporate worship together and lift up the praises of God where He is enthroned in this place, the Spirit wants to do everything He can to encourage that praise, to encourage that worship, that singing. The more we give our lives as a living sacrifice of worship, the more we join in with God's people in giving our hearts and our voices in full-throated praise to the Lord, the more that the Holy Spirit leads us in that holy act and empowers us to worship more and more. So our genuine heart worship of God unlocks in us an openness to the Spirit and an acknowledgement of Christ as Lord. When we're coming to this place and exalting Jesus Christ as Lord, that's exactly where the Spirit wants us. That's exactly where the Spirit fills us more and more. So the more we commune with God in prayer, in worship, in Scripture, the more of Himself He gives to us. The third point is that all of this requires of us a yielding of ourselves to this person who already dwells in us. Submitting to His lordship, submitting to His leadership, His desires for our lives. When I say yield to the Spirit, that means I'm stepping out of the way, right? I'm getting out of His way that He might lead, that He might have the directive in my life, that He might have the right to say, here's how you should live, here's where you should go, here's where you should turn, here's what you should speak. To yield to the Spirit is to recognize that there is one who lives in me that is greater than me. And my call is to surrender to Him and His lordship, that my spirit might yield to His Spirit. To say, you are the Lord. Let my life be oriented around seeking your will, seeking your voice, seeking your pleasure. That your leadership is most important in my life. Not my will, but yours be done. So let me prioritize communion with you over all other things. Let me make every effort to listen for you, to think your thoughts after you, to obey you. In all things, I yield to you, Holy Spirit. I step aside as Lord of my life, as sovereign over my own heart, and give the reign over to you. That's the yielding, the surrender that the Spirit calls us to. That's how we are more and more filled and making room in our hearts for the Spirit of God. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you already, because everyone who confesses Jesus is Lord has the Spirit in them, 1 Corinthians says. But if you are a believer, and you're asking to be filled more and more, you're asking to know this person of the Spirit more and more, you're asking to yield yourself more and more, let me encourage you with a prayer. And ask you to pray with us this prayer that we pray and sing, Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. When we pray this, we're not praying for God to send His Spirit from outside of us to fall anew upon us. We're not praying that God from outside of us would come to us. It's not an invocation like that. When we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," let it be for us an invitation of our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, and take full leadership in my life. Come, Holy Spirit, and reign in me. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me with the love of God. Root me deeper in Jesus, abiding in Him. Come, Holy Spirit, to shine light on the sin of my heart and bring your loving and gracious conviction that leads me into holy repentance. I want to encourage you, to urge you today in the name of Jesus to make that the prayer of your heart today. Come, Holy Spirit, that it's not an invocation, it's a surrender. It's a yielding. Come, Holy Spirit, let me yield myself to the Spirit of truth, the presence of God, that I might be filled more and more. Let me close this in a prayer. O Lord Jesus, would you give us the grace to make our prayer today to you one of surrender, one of yielding. We call upon the Holy Spirit to come in each one of us and take up the Lordship, to take up our lives and fill us more and more, to come, Holy Spirit, that you might be the reigning presence of Christ in each of our hearts. Heavenly Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that your Spirit would minister to each one of us in the ways that you know we need, and that you might give us the grace, the openness, the vulnerability to say to you, "Come, have your way in me." We make our prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.